Let's get learning. Get busy learning or get busy dying. Okay. Tough. So what we're going to do tonight, at least probably for the first half of the class, is speak about something which is not Hasidus and not anything other than simple Judaism 101.
So Hasidish.
Well, we'll get to a Hasidic aspect of it at some point, but, you know, very often those things that are Judaism 101, that are so fundamental to our belief in theology, some people just don't ever, like, if you're not a Baal Tshuva and you didn't, like, go to yeshiva and one of these really good classes where they teach you the basics, some people just don't know. And it's worthwhile to speak about it. I've heard from quite a few people that there's a lot of confusion about it. And that is the order of how we receive the Torah. You know, this week's Parsha Mishpatim, I remember as a kid, it's very confusing. If you look in Exodus, in the book of Shmos, like the whole, I remember when I first started really paying attention to the Parsha. You get up to Parsha Yisro, and I remember like waiting for the Nasa V'Nishma, and it doesn't come. In the whole Yisro, I was all built up, I was all excited about the Nasa V'Nishma, and it doesn't appear anywhere in Yisro. So I was like, okay, whatever. And then like the following week, Mishpatim, there it is. So the order is, let's first speak how it is scripturally, and then we'll talk how it is chronologically. Parshas Yisro, chapters 19, 20, and 21 are about the giving of the... I'm sorry, 19 and 20 are about the giving of the Torah. We're talking in the chapters the way that the Christian printers wrote it up. I'm talking chapters the way it is, Exodus 19, Exodus 20, because that makes it easier for us. So Yisro... The beginning is the whole story of Moshe's father-in-law with the legal courts, etc. Then, the second half of the parasha, which is Exodus 19 and 20, is about Matan Torah. Exodus 19 begins on the third month that they left Egypt. They came to Har Sinai. They camped at Har Sinai. Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people all the introductory statements. I've carried you on the wings of eagles. You will be a precious a treasure nation unto me. Hashem then tells Moshe to warn them about not coming out the mountain. That's Exodus 19. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, when God actually begins the Ten Commandments. And then after the Ten Commandments, and everyone saw the sight, they saw the sounds, and everything, and the sort of the follow-up to the giving of the Torah. Then, this week's parasha, we have chapters 21, 22, and 23, the Mishpatim. Right? The legal... laws, the rational laws, that's chapters 21, 22, 23, Mishpatim. And then all of a sudden, Exodus chapter 24, again Matan Torah. Again we come back to Matan Torah. But to make matters more confusing, okay, when we speak about Exodus chapter 24, there are 18 verses in Exodus chapter 24. And some of them are before the giving of the Torah, and some of them are after the giving of the Torah. So not only is it out of order, at least according to Rashi, the Ramban doesn't learn like that, but according to Rashi, it's out of order. But in Mishpatim, the 18 verses, the 18 psukim of Perek Chof Dalet, some of them are before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, and some are after. Okay? Now, before we even get up to the whole... there's a whole discussion why it's split into that. There's very interesting explanations. We're not going to get into that because that's a little more in-depth. But let's just discuss for a second, what was the actual order of the giving the Torah? What happened when? Let's just make a little chazar. What day did the Jews leave Egypt? 15th of?
Nisan.
Great. What day did they camp at Har Sinai, at the Mount Sinai?
The 3rd of
Sivan?
What day of Sivan? Rosh Chodesh, right? That's Exodus 19. B'chodesh ha'shlishi, in the third month after leaving Egypt. It doesn't mean 3 months later. It means in the third month after leaving, which is Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is about a month and a half. They camped at Mount Sinai. Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's when they camped at Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, then the second day of Sivan, let's get this clearly. The second day of Sivan is where Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people all these things. I carried you on the wings of eagles. You'll be for me a kingdom of priests, etc. That's the second day of Sivan. And then Hashem commands them the 3 days of Hagbalah. Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, 3 days of preparing themselves, which is the third, fourth, and fifth of Sivan. Okay? Now, again, we're going to talk about Yisro Mishpatim, but what day did the Jews actually say Nasa V'Nishma? The fifth of Sivan. Erev Shavuos.
Before they
got it. The fifth of Sivan. Okay? Very important. I'm telling you, this is basics of Judaism. Get this. Fifth of Sivan is when they said Nasa V'Nishma. The sixth of Sivan, which is Shavuos, Moshe goes up the mountain and gets what? What does he come down with on the sixth of Sivan on Shavuos?
Luchos.
Tablets. Does everyone agree with that?
Should we not?
I'm asking you. I just want to make sure. The sixth of Sivan, which is Shavuos, Moses comes down the mountain with tablets. True or false? You all agree? Yes. You're all wrong.
No.
Oh,
no,
yay!
I don't know why I even thought that. Because it's 40 days later, he comes down. And
thank you. Good. Right. What did we get on Shavuos? I've even seen pictures, kids coming home from Cheder, with pictures of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down the mountain on Shavuos with a Sefer Torah.
And a shtramel.
Well, of course. Well, what else would he come down with? A kipasuga.
I mean, did they get the shtramel?
Yeah, well, they were Hungarian. They figured it out. So anyway, so what on the 6th of Sivan, what did the Jewish people get? What
they
did they get?
A fireworks show.
Yes. The revelation
they
of God.
A fireworks show, and
just
they heard,
that.
Like you said today, the first two, and they didn't hear the balance of the...
I didn't say that today.
That's David Sachs. Okay. They heard the first two and the balance of the eight.
Whatever it was, let's just not get it. There was the revelation at Sinai.
Revelation.
All that happened that day, in quotation marks, is that God revealed himself to everyone... Just that. God, revelation at Sinai. Now, then what happens the following day, on the 7th of Sivan, Hashem says to Moshe, come up the mountain for 40 days. Right? So far they haven't received anything physical. 40 days he goes up on the 7th of Sivan, comes down when? I told you, we're starting with basics tonight. Comes down, goes up the 7th of Sivan, 40 days later is? No. No.
Did I not just say that?
You said Tishba.
Comes down the mountain with the tablets.
No, not definitely not Tuba.
Comes down with the mountains with the tablets and sees the Jewish people had made the egel the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days after the 7th of Sivan. Comes down 17th of Tammuz, sees the people made the golden calf, breaks them. Comes down, all hell breaks loose. Then he goes up the mountain again to beg God for mercy. When? He goes up the mountain again to beg God for mercy on the 20th of Tammuz until the last day of Av, until the 29th of Av. Comes down, and he up that whole time he was there for another 40 days begging God to forgive the Jewish people. God then says to him, in Parshas Kitisa, which we're going to read about in 2 weeks, God then says, okay, come up to the mountain again to receive the second tablets. When does he go up to receive the second tablets? So remember, we went from 17th of Tammuz to the 29th of Av. What's the month after Av?
Elul.
Goes up Rosh Chodesh Elul. Comes down with the second tablets. On Yom Kippur. So to know this is like basics of Judaism. Basics of this narrative I just told you is Judaism. We all think Orthodox. I know. Basics of Judaism. This from 15th of Nisan until then, you have to know. Now, we're also going to be relevant to know. So he comes down Yom Kippur, the second tablets. That's the 10th of Tishrei. He then says, right, they have this online. There are all sorts of tablets online. Then the next day, the day after Yom Kippur, is actually Parshas Truma, when there's the commandment to build the Mishkan. They're commanded on the 11th of Tishrei to build the Mishkan, the day after Yom Kippur. They finish building it when?
25th of Kislev.
Yes, they finish building it the 25th of Kislev on Chanukah. But then what does God say? This is Exodus chapter 40 in Pikudei. God then says, don't put it up yet, even though you finished building it in the 25th of Kislev, don't put it up until Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
I thought they chose.
No, it's in Exodus 40, the very end of the book of Exodus. God says, at the end of the book of Shemos, Hashem says in Parsha Pikudei, don't put it up, on the first day of Nisan. And then they have the 12 days of the Nisim, of the princes offering the sacrifices, the first 12 days of Nisan. And then they made Pesach. So from the time they left Egypt, how long till they actually built the Mishkan? Or actually put it up, erected it?
A year.
1 year exactly. From the 15th of Nisan, it was the year 2448. The 15th of Nisan of 2448 until the 1st of Nisan, 2449, is when they actually erected the Mishkan. Those 12 days they put it up, and then they brought Pesach. That one time in the Midbar. I'm sorry?
That's quite a Shana
Rishon. It is quite a Shana Rishon. That's correct. Quite an eventful Shana Rishon. That's right. Now, with this basic idea, now we could discuss something else. Very important. So that's the chronology of the year. So we all agreed that Moses came down with the first tablets on the 17th of Tammuz, broke them, came down on Yom Kippur with the second tablets. When did we get the Torah scroll? The five books of Moses, the Pentateuch.
You mean like the complete version?
The complete version. When did we get that? When did the Torah scroll that we read and venerate, when did that happen?
40 years later when Yahushua went into the land.
That's when we got the Torah scroll, only 40 years later?
When, you know.
Well, when did
it depends on if you think like Moshe cried it out.
That's the last eight psukim. The last eight psukim in Vezeisa Bracha about Moses' death, the Gemara says two opinions, whether Moshe wrote it while crying or Yeshua wrote it.
I don't want to talk about those last eight psukim. It's not actually, you don't actually have it until it's finished or something?
So one second, let's go one thing at a time. The last eight psukim, there's a machlekes, it obviously was then the 40th year, whether Moshe wrote it while crying or Yeshua wrote it. What about the rest of the Torah scroll? When did we get that?
Gradually over time.
We're told that that was... I've always been told that it was given to Moshe during those... both of the 40-day periods.
You were told...
I'm not sure... I get confused sometimes with these multiple 40-day periods.
Okay,
but
so... But
I was told that he was given the entire Torah, the five books, on... the first 40 days.
Here,
and he's
at
up
the
there.
Time.
He gets it, but then I guess he gets it again.
But wait, Ivan, I want to, let's get something clear, because this is why we're here tonight. One second. I told you, I'm not getting till Chassidus tonight, unless and until we get this clear, because this is Judaism 101. So the fact that you're confused, you're not the only one, most people are, and that's why I want to make sure we get this clear. So wait, did he went out for those 3 40-day periods. In your mind, when did he come down from the mountain with the Torah scroll? Did he come down the mountain with the Torah scroll? I'm asking you, did he or did he not?
No.
Obviously not. What's the biggest proof he didn't come down the mountain with the Torah scroll? Great. So Vezeisa Bracha for sure. But what about Parshas Chukas? What about the story of the spies? When did the story of the spies and the whole book of Dvarim?
Didn't
happen yet. Exactly. So therefore we know for sure he never came down Mount Sinai with the Torah scroll. That never happened. Clear. This is Judaism 101. I keep saying this. Basic Judaism. People don't know this. He never came down the mountain with the Torah scroll. So when was the Torah scroll written then? What do you say? You said when? At the end of the 40 years?
I think gradually over the time that they spent in the Midbar.
Great.
I mean,
so it's a machlekes in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to one thing we all agree, and we're going to see this in this week's parsha soon, one thing for sure, from Bereshis until the giving of the Torah was written before Shavuos. Get this clearly. From Bereshis, we're going to see this in this week's parsha in the text, from Bereshis until the giving Parshas Yisro was written before the 6th of Sivan. Get this clear. Now, the rest of the Torah, there's two opinions. One opinion says that in the 40th year, Moshe wrote the whole thing from Yisro till Vezeisa Bracha. Again, the last eight psukim, that's machlekes about his death, that's another shaila. Did he write it or did Yeshua? But the rest from Yisro until Vezeisa Bracha, one opinion says he wrote it all in the 40th year. The other opinion says, Megillah Megillah Nitna. Megillah, Megillah, Nitna. Now you know, it was given Megillah, Megillah. Now I know Megillah doesn't just mean Megillah, Esther. What does it mean, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna? What does Megillah mean literally in Hebrew? Portion. Scroll by scroll.
So he basically wrote it down after everything.
Correct. As God commanded him something or it happened, he wrote it down. Now here's the $67,000 question. You ready? And this is going to make the whole book of Exodus make sense. If you didn't get this until now, this wasn't taught to you as a kid, it's going to put everything together. Where, according to both opinions, that he didn't get it on the mountain. Where did he write it and how did he write it? God said it to him, right? Where did God say it to him?
In his tent.
Whose tent?
Moshe's tent, and it glowed.
Almost, not Moshe's tent. What? The tent of meeting, Ohel Moed, which for a while was Moshe's tent, which is why you think so, but where, oh, what became Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting?
The Mishkan.
The Mishkan. The Mishkan. So now listen carefully, you ready? Listen carefully. We said Exodus 24, the end of this week's parsha is the end of the giving of the Torah, right? What's next week's parsha? Exodus 25. What comes after Mishpatim? Right after the... Huh? Truma Tetzaveh, yes. So listen carefully. We finish this week's parsha, and look for a second at verse 18. We'll come back to it. We'll go in order, but just glance for a second at verse 18. Verse 18 is the last pasuk in the parsha. And Moshe came within the cloud, and he went up to the mountain, and Moses was up in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That finishes this parsha. Right away, the next parsha begins, what? The Mishkan. Says the Ramban. What's the connection? Why is the Mishkan the first thing God said after the giving of the Torah? And the answer is, says the Ramban, that the same kavod, the same glory that was on the mountain temporarily, will now have a tent of meeting in Ohel Moed that it will be permanent. And the ultimate reason the Ramban says that the Mishkan is the place of, what do we all know? What's the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash all about? So most people think it's about Korbanos, right? Yes and no. It's about Korbanos, but why are Korbanos brought in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan? What's the ultimate part of the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan?
It's sitting there.
It's sitting where?
In the Holy of Holies.
And what's in the Holy of Holies?
The
Torah. Torah. The Luchos and the Sefer Torah that he wrote at the end of 40 years is also over there. In other words, the Holy of Holies,
the
Ramban says...
The beginning is over just the Luchos.
Yes. Yes, and then in the temple, the Torah scroll was there. Yes. So I want you to understand. That means, listen carefully, the Ramban explains that after Har Sinai, that revelation continued in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And what was the purpose of that revelation? The continuing of the giving of the Torah. So now, Exodus chapter 25 to 40 is the construct Truma Tetzaveh Vayakel Pikudei. Almost the whole book is about the Mishkan. The Ramban explains because that's the continuation of the revelation at Sinai. Both the revelation of God's light and the giving of the Torah. Meaning, where did Moses write our Chumash? The most important book in Judaism, the most important book in our opinion in the whole world. Where did he write it? He went into the Mishkan. And God spoke to him, as it says in Exodus 40, at the end of this book, God says, come in and I will speak to you from between the wings of the cherubs. He would go into the Mishkan, and that's Vayikra, the very first pasuk, Vayikra Hashem, Hashem called out to Moshe. His voice would come from between the wings of the cherubs, would come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he would hear God talking and write down the rest of the Torah scroll. So the Mishkan is the continuation, and that's where he wrote the Torah scroll. Again, according to one opinion, in the 40th year, he wrote from Yisro till there. According to the other opinion, he would write Megillah, Megillah, each section as it happened or as it was said by God. Questions? A few people are like, what? You're what? Questions?
I always get confused about why this threw me off. I like knowing this, and it's like shocking that I didn't know this, but like...
You'd be shocked, even more shocked if you know how many people don't know.
I totally knew this. It's like on Shavuos, we're always saying, Torah, we're celebrating the guidance. I'm always like, but when did... I never even bothered, I should have asked the question, I probably haven't got the answer, and I just forgot, but, you know, like, we're always talking about learning Torah on Shavuos, but why has that become the Torah holiday if the Torah... It's given in 9.
So the answer is, Evan, here we go. You ready? Because this is what we're coming to, what tonight's year is all about.
Wait,
let me just respond to him. I'm going to get to all questions, but I just want to say, we didn't get anything on Shavuos. All that happened was that God spoke.
That's another point.
But yet, we got everything.
Okay.
So we're going to see in, before we get, we're leaving Chassidus for the tail end tonight. We're talking Poshet and Nigla. In the simple revealed aspect of Torah, I want to show you this fact that you're getting confused, that Shavuos is like Kabbalah Satorah. See, here's the thing. When people, I remember when I learned in Litvish Yeshivas and we would stay up the whole night just learning Bab Metzia. Like, that ain't the thing either. Shavuos is about God revealing himself. You can't forget that. Essentially, the ultimate Shavuos is Gilui or Ein Sof. God revealed his infinite light. But that revelation was through Torah. But what you're asking is a question, so what? But if we actually only got the Ten Commandments and we didn't even get the Luchos till later, so why do we spend the whole night learning Tanakh and all these things? So we're going to get to that. What do you want to say? Rebecca?
Devorah.
Devorah.
It's the other one. Okay. the other Jewish one.
Yeah.
But
I knew it wasn't Razel or something, you know what I'm saying? I knew it was biblical.
Yes. It's even better. But aside from that, what I was going to ask was, if only until Mishpatim, or until Yitro, was at Har Sinai, what I was always taught, as much as this seems to be a dangerous statement to make, is that the oral law was all brought forth to Moshe during those 40 days. But how did that make sense without the rest of the Torah?
So that's it. So you're basically building, Dvorah, you're building a great question. Give her another one for me. You're building on what Evan asked. Evan asked, well, what do you mean? So why should we speak about getting the whole Torah? And you're saying, and there's even the oral Torah, right? So this is what we need to clarify tonight. And we will. We're getting there.
Moshe seeing Rabbi Akiva teaching the students.
We're going to get to that too.
Okay.
That's what I say. You know, I always say Niagara Falls. You know Niagara Falls? Abbott and Costello?
No, I don't mean
the place. I mean the Abbott and Costello skit. You never saw the Abbott and Costello in Niagara Falls? Slowly I turn. Step. If you didn't see it, go on YouTube. Check it out. Slowly I turn. Step. So that's how you have to learn.
Bereshis Moshe writes during the 40 days when he's up at Anasa.
What's that?
Bereshis Moshe has written pre or...
Pre the 6th of Sivan. We said. I'm going to show you in a second. Wait, we'll see it in text. Everything you guys are talking about, that's what we're doing text tonight. Very tech. Any questions? Yeah.
Okay. Two questions, very quick. Simple for you. Okay.
I'm not running anywhere.
All right. The first question is, I forgot where, but isn't there a point where Hashem says, put the scroll in the Aron with the Luchot? And the second question...
Yes, at the very end of the Torah.
Okay, that's the very end.
That is in Parshas Vayelech.
Aha. Okay, and the second question is, are we differentiating between...
Wait, but I just want to make sure that it was a good question. It was important. He's asking, the Chur, it says, to take the Torah scroll and put it in. So you see they have the Torah scroll. So that is at the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. At the very end, it says that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second question. Are we differentiating between Torah, the Sefer, and Torah, the all-encompassing concept, DNA of the world kind of a thing?
DNA of the world, I'm not getting into right now. Leave the DNA of the world.
Well, like in how they like learned all of Torah at Sinai.
So that's what Evan and Dvorah are asking.
Yeah.
So right.
Yeah,
so let's. So okay. Good. So
following.
So as I said, I'm going to get to that. I just want to make sure. Other than that issue about, but the chronology of the Book of Exodus and the timeline. Does everyone get? Very important. You're furrowing your brow.
Isn't there an opinion though that the Mishkan was only because of Chet
Egel? Beautiful question. Bailey's asking that L'chayr, it says the Mishkan was only because of Chet Egel. Yeah?
Okay, so given that length of time in a gap, was there any, and given that at that point the firstborn were still technically were able to be priests, was there any kind of a service at that point, or was it all through Moshe, or?
What do you mean service, like sacrifices?
I don't know if I'm talking about sacrifices or general, this is what God told me today, or just, was there any kind of God to Israel?
Well, you have to remember, as we said in the beginning, from the 15th of Nisan mm-hmm. until the 6th of, until Matan Torah, where Sach HaKol we're talking 6 weeks, approximately, right? A month and a half, about 7 weeks, right? So during that time, the Jewish people fled from the Egyptians, because they didn't finish that till the 25th of Nisan, the 21st of Nisan. And then they were walking, and then you have the whole Parshas Beshalach, which is they came to Marah, the water was bitter, and there, if you remember, in Beshalach it says, Sham Sam Lechayku Mishpat. There, God gave them Chayku Mishpat, which Rashi says they were taught Paraduma, Shabbos, and the monetary laws. So they were given orally these things, nothing written down yet, but they were taught some things. But there was no like sacrifices or anything. Nothing like that happened yet. That was after Mount Tov, or as we'll see, this week's parsha was the beginning of it. Now, according to your question, Bailey, so like this. According to those opinions that the Mishkan was only because they sinned, which is not the majority opinion. The majority opinion, like I said, the Ramban, was that the Mishkan should be the continuation of the Sinai revelation, and there'd be the ability of God to continue speaking. And by the way, this I forgot to mention, not just the Mishkan, later on, all the Nevi'im, they got their prophecy also from the Beis HaMikdash. It actually says that just like Moses' prophecy came from between the two wings of the cherubs, all the other Nevi'im got the prophecy from the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone know from where? Anyone ever heard of the words Yachin and Boaz?
Yes.
What were Yachin and Boaz? They were the pillars on the two sides of the outer door of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says the Nevi'im, they got their prophecy from Yachin and Boaz. It's like, you could almost imagine, Moses' prophecy came from the wings of the eagles. They got the prophecy from those two pillars. But anyway, but according to the opinion that it was only because they sinned, those opinions say, I think it's the Zohar, if I'm not mistaken, that means that if they wouldn't have sinned, then where would the Sinai revelation have continued? Where would it have continued if they hadn't sinned? You wouldn't have needed the Mishkan, because where would the Sinai revelation have continued? Inside the Jews. No, but if they hadn't sinned, where would the Sinai revelation have continued? What would have been the Mishkan? The Jews would have been the Mishkan, which essentially is going to happen when Mashiach comes. So what are you asking?
I believe, I could be mistaken.
The whole thing about the mountain over the head and how that fits with Nas Nishma, I don't want to get into, if that's what you're asking.
No,
that was all before the giving of the Torah.
If they're guaranteeing keeping the Torah through their children, then in a sense, the idea, if it's happening through the children, then the idea that the Torah is continuing to be revealed through Bnei Yisrael still isn't false.
Yes, the Jewish people, of course, are the bearers of the Torah tradition. But the question that Bailey was asking was specifically, according to the opinion that we had mentioned, that the Ramban says that the Mishkan was a continuation of the Sinai revelation, meaning the same revelation at Sinai, God revealing God, His revelation, is now in the Mishkan. But Bailey asked, but if according to the opinion that the Mishkan was only because we sinned, so where would that revelation have continued? I'm not talking about the fact that we're bearers of the Torah. Where would God continue revealing Himself that started at Sinai? It would have been in us. Literally, in our bodies, we would have been tents of God.
But isn't that what we're still doing anyway?
We're working on it, but we don't feel that.
I mean, not
we obviously don't feel that, but that's what we're working on.
We don't necessarily feel it.
Of course,
saying that, like it is happening. We may not.
We're working on making it conscious. We're working on making conscious, and that's what we've been working on for the past couple of thousand years. Yeah.
So you're saying, like, in other words, what you're saying, we always learn in Chabad, right, that to say, we can build the Mishkan, Hashem says, build the Mishkan, and I will dwell, the Socha, I'll dwell,
right.
And Pshat is, I'll dwell in it. But really, it literally means, he'll dwell in them, meaning us. You're saying, if not for the Chet HaEgel, according to that opinion, so it would have been the Socha, Hashem.
Literally.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes. Now, okay, this is all the background to begin approaching the text. Now, let's look inside. Now, you remember I told you in the beginning that Exodus chapters 19 and 20 in Yisro, what was chapter 19 about? Anyone remember? Arriving at Sinai, camping by the mountain, the 3 days of Agbala, Hashem saying not to go up the mountain, not to touch the mountain, and then Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, let's see chapter 24. Look on the side of the page. It says Shmais Mishpatim, chapter 24. Everyone have it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to go through all 18 verses. You see I skipped. But let's read. So this is the beginning of Exodus 24. And to Moshe Hashem said. Now you'll notice again that this is after chapters 21, 22, and 23, which is all the laws, the Mishpatim.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're not going to have time to get into, but according to the Rebbe has a whole sikh explaining why is that in between. But we'll have to leave that for now. That's a question you should have. Should bother you, why are there three whole chapters of these Mishpatim between the two accounts of the revelation at Sinai? So that's a separate issue, we don't have time to get into that, okay?
I'll make a voice note about that tomorrow.
And to Moshe he said, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Avihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and prostrate yourselves from afar. Okay? And Moshe, now that's verse 1. And Moshe, we're skipping to verse 4, you see I'm skipping around. Pasuk Dalet. And Moshe wrote all the words of the Lord. And he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. Now you see right away, this is before the revelation, this is before Matan Torah. So what does it mean? And Moshe wrote all the words of the Lord. Oh. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 monuments for the 12 tribes of Israel. He built 12 monuments on the foot of the mountain. And then look at Pasuk 7. And he took the book of the covenant. Sefer HaBris. What Sefer HaBris? Rashi says, from Bereshis until Parshas Yisro. So I want to show you that in Pshutei Shel Mikra, don't forget, Rashi is the simple explanation of the Pasuk. Rashi is not Pshetlach, Drush, Chassidus. That means in the simple explanation, our Torah says there was a book of the covenant, Sefer HaBris, before Matan Torah. What
like
was that? Bereshis until Yisro.
Like covenant with Abraham until renewal of covenant with...
Why is it called Book of the Covenant?
No. But I'm saying, is it
from Parshas Bereishis, the Book of Genesis and Exodus till Exodus 18?
Called that? Sorry, yes. Is it called that because it is referring to Hashem's initial covenant with Abraham?
Probably. There are many explanations why it's called that, but that's definitely pshat.
Moshe knows Bereishis, all that stuff from
verse 4.
But he knows it from oral tradition?
No, Hashem said it to him. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord.
Okay, wrote all the words of the Lord. Okay.
What do you mean he wouldn't have known?
I mean, we lived on.
No, but the actual words. In the Torah scroll, the words are the actual words.
Well,
look, you can recite
them by heart. What's that mean? Some little kid.
Exactly. Don't forget, we all have to remember, we believe that in the Torah scroll, the five books of Moses, every letter is from God. We believe that about all of Tanakh. Whether you believe that about a Talmud, it depends how Hasidic you are. But the Tanakh, if you're an Orthodox Jew and you fill that out in your application form, you must believe that every letter of the Tanakh is from God. It's not that God gave you like a vague inspiration and the prophet started waxing poetic. The words are from God.
Yeah, but just as you were able to recite so many of those.
So I'm telling you, so we got it. So I'm telling you, that's what Rashi
have been able to do.
But here's the thing. Without Hashem telling Moshe, all of Bnei Yisrael would have just been relying on, well, my grandparents kind of sort of remember about their grandparents.
You know, this is the actual book. I know, Hever. But we know, the stories we knew.
Right.
The question is the actual text.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Text.
Okay.
The
yeah.
words themselves of the book.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good?
Good.
Great. So, and he took the Book of the Covenant and read with. Now again, don't forget, remember I told you they came to Har Sinai, the first of Sivan. Second of Sivan, God said, I took you on the wings of eagles, you're gonna be a holy nation. Third, fourth, and fifth of Sivan are the Shlishim Egbalah, 3 days of preparation. And this verse 7. Look at verse 7. Tell me if it looks familiar to you. And he took the book of the covenant and read it within the hearing of the people, and they said, what did they say? Nasa v'nishma. So Nasa v'nishma was on the 5th of Sivan, and what did they hear to which they responded Nasa v'nishma? Bereshis to Yisro. What's that?
And they hadn't even got to all the other.
That's right. That's right. And that's when they said Nasa v'nishma. Now, let's read further.
So this before the whole thing Hashem raises the mountain above our heads.
That was on
before.
That was all
after Revelation.
Before Revelation. That was they were. That's what I'm not. The reason I'm not getting into the picking the mountain over the head because that's the Gemara. I'm talking tonight theology. Pashut scriptural theology. I'm not getting into all the drushes of Chazal. Pashut what it says in the Bible. Now, you saw in verse 4 how it said that he built an altar at the foot of the mountain. So I didn't bring all the verses, but he actually brought an oila. He brought different korbanos. So Dvorah, to answer your question, this is the first time sacrifices were brought, which is why we always say that the oilas tamid was brought on Sinai. Because on Sinai there was already, it was the first oilah that was brought as a nation. This is the first, at Sinai was the first sacrificial order. In Egypt, what did they bring? The Paschal Lamb. But that wasn't a carbon tzibor. This was the first time for congregation sacrifices were brought. And then look at verse 8. And Moshe took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Which is, by the way, from where we learned that a convert has to go to the mikveh. Because Chazal say you never sprinkle anything without going to a mikveh first. And Moshe said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has formed with you concerning these words. So if you've seen many times after that God made a covenant with us at Sinai, it's talking about this. The covenant was actually before the revelation. Okay? Now.
Does the Hebrew echo Reuben have a time?
I'm sorry? Not, Nechama Leibowitz might have made a thing about it, but not apparently. If you like look deeper into it, I'm saying like those type of people probably do that, but there's nothing apparent that shows that they're parallel. Now, you ready for this? Verse 12.
What blood is he sprinkling?
The sacrifices that they brought. If you look in verses 5 and 6, it says that he brought sacrifices. That's the blood he's sprinkling. That's the covenant.
It's not a specific animal at that point.
You mean like, is it called Frank or Bob?
No, I mean like, you know how we want specific animals to sacrifice. When once we have the fish time, we have to bring specific.
Yeah, it was an oila. He had to bring an oila.
Okay.
Yeah, he had to bring an oila. Now, verse 12. Now, I want to tell you all something very important. Between verse 11 and 12, in the Chumash, which you don't have in front of you, is a pei or a samach. Does everyone know when you have a pei or a samach between different psukim what that means? In a Chumash, sometimes you'll see peis and samachs, you know what I'm talking about? It's a space in the Torah scroll. Between verse, now don't, the numbers is what the Christians gave. So between 11 and 12 there's a break in the Torah scroll between verse 11 and 12. And now, let's read verse 12 and tell me what's confusing, okay? Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses, come up to me to the mountain and remain there. And I will give you the stone tablets, the law and the commandments, which I have written to instruct them. When did that happen?
40 days later.
Six of Sivan.
Again, what we said, and the Lord said to Moses, come up to me to the mountain. Six of Sivan was the revelation at Sinai.
But didn't it happen already?
What?
After the six of Sivan, after revelation, he comes up.
Meaning the seventh of Sivan, correct? Meaning the verse 12, that's what I was. So when did verse 12 happen?
Seven.
After the revelation at Sinai.
Yes.
So that's what I want to show you. Verses 1 to 11. I know this is complicated, but this is basic Judaism. This is more important than any Dvar Torah you'll ever hear at a table on Shabbos. Verses 1 to 11 are before the revelation at Sinai. Verse 12 is after the revelation at Sinai. So, you ready for this? Verses 1 to 11 is all take place on from the 5th of Sivan. Verse 12 takes place on the 7th of Sivan. What happened on the 6th of Sivan? Where is that written? Exodus 19 and 20, Parshas Yisro. Get this clear. Exodus 12, and I'm going to show you in a second why this is so fundamental. I'm not just lecturing to you about biblical studies. You're going to see in a second. Verses 1 to 11 is on the 5th of Sivan. Verse 12 is the 7th of Sivan. In the sixth, the actual Yisro, the sixth of Sivan was in Parshas Yisro, Exodus 19 and 20. Okay? So get that clear. So now, and the Lord said to Moshe, come up to me to the mountain. So now we know this is after the seventh of Sivan, after giving the Torah. Let's read these verses in English. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me to the mountain and remain there, Hayesham, and I will give you the stone tablets, the law and the commandments, which I have written to instruct them. Let's skip to the English for a second. So Moshe and Yoshua, his servant, arose, and Moshe ascended to the mountain of God. Now you'll notice, by the way, here who goes up the mountain on the 7th of Sivan?
Moshe.
Verse 13, Moshe and
Yoshua.
As opposed to verse 1, which was before the giving of the Torah, who went up on the mountain?
Moshe,
Aaron, Nadavi, the 70 elders. Okay? So now back to verse 13. Moshe and Yoshua go up the mountain. Verse 15, and Moshe went up to the mountain by himself. Yoshua waited in the middle, which is why Yoshua wasn't by the sin of the golden calf, right? Moshe went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire atop the mountain for the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses came within the cloud, went up to the mountain, and remained there on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he gets the commandment of the Mishkan. Okay? Clear?
Yeah.
Now, verse 12, Exodus 24, 12, in my humble opinion, is probably one of the most important verses of the entire Bible. I do not understand why every Jew doesn't know Exodus 24, 12 by heart. Because I'm going to show you everything that Evan, Dvora, and Josh asked are all in verse 12. And I have no idea, every single Jew needs to know this pasuk and everything that Chazal say in it. Look, I'll show you. Let's look at it very carefully. And Hashem said to Moshe, come up to me the mountain and remain there. Now, what do we already learn? What does Moses come down the mountain with after the 40 days? The tablets, right? How long does it take to get tablets? 40 days and 40 nights? Or not. And I will give you the stone tablets, the law, and the commandments which I've written to instruct them. Now, here we now have to look at Rashi. I want to look at it in Hebrew. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, alei elai ha-hara ve-heyesham, ve-etne lecha. Now, use your finger. Es luchos ha-even, ve-ha-toira, ve-ha-mitzvah, ashekasafti le-haroisam. How many things do you see in that? Let's count them again. Come up for 40 days, ve-heyesham, and be there, ve-etne lecha, and I will give to you. Es luchos ha-even, one. Ve-ha-toira,
two.
Ve-ha-mitzvah, three. Asher kasafti, that I wrote for leharoisam, to instruct them. Now, let's first learn Rashi. What we're going to now learn, listen carefully, is Rashi on this pasuk, and then the Gemara on this pasuk. Now, before we learn it inside, let's be very clear, because this is very important. What's the difference between Rashi and the Gemara? When you learn Rashi on a pasuk, or what the Gemara says on a pasuk? Basic textual learning of Judaism. What's the difference when you learn Rashi on a pasuk or a Gemara on a pasuk? Now let's remember, anything Rashi says, where is he getting it from? Medrash or the Gemara. But when Rashi brings a Gemara Medrash, why is he bringing it? What does it tell you, the fact that Rashi's bringing it, as opposed to just learning in the Gemara? Pshutei shel mikra, the simple explanation of the verse. You need to know, Rashi says, Ani loy, he says it a few times. Ani loy bati el lefaresh pshutei shel mikra. We have a rule, when you learn Rashi, it means it's the simple explanation of the verse, which means anytime Rashi brings something that seems to be like a drush, right? Like if Rashi will say something that Avimelech couldn't go to the bathroom, it means you need that to understand the simple meaning of the verse. If Rashi brings it, it means without this, it's pshuta, you need this for pshat in the pasuk. So we're going to learn how, the way Rashi explains this pasuk, and then the way the Gemara explains it, which means the difference is how you understand this pasuk al pi pshat, and then how Chazal explained it al pi drush. Now, why do we need explanations? Because what did we just say? What's weird about this pasuk? If all he's going up to the mountain is just to get the luchos, what takes him 40 days and 40 nights? And number two, what are all these other things that the pasuk is saying? Yeah? So look at Rashi. On the bottom of the page there in bold is Rashi. And the Lord said to Moshe after the giving of the Torah. Why does Rashi need to say this? You see on the bottom of the page? Why does Rashi need to say after the giving of the Torah?
Because you have that whole ellipsis in, otherwise you don't remember.
Yeah, because the previous pasuk was the fifth of Sivan. Pasuk Yud Aleph. And all of a sudden pasuk Yud Beis is the seventh of Sivan. So Rashi needs to say, the first 11 psukim were before the giving of the Torah. The last 7 psukim of this parsha are after the giving of the Torah. Further in Rashi, come up to me to the mountain and remain there for 40 days. The stone tablets. Now Rashi's Dibur HaMaschil, whatever words Rashi's quoting from the verse, is also important, right? So what's Rashi quoting from the verse now? The stone tablets, the law and the commandments which I've written to instruct them. Says Rashi, all 613 mitzvahs are included in the Ten Commandments, in the Azharot that he composed for each commandment of the Ten. Rabbein Yisadi Goyen explained the mitzvahs dependent upon each commandment. This is the only time in all of Rashi that Rashi gives you a recommended reading list. There is no other time. Reb Sadi Goyen was only about 200 years, 250 years before Rashi. The Goyenim, maybe 300 years. Rashi's telling you a bit. Reb Sadi Goyen wrote a book called Azharot. Anyone ever heard of the Azharot? Mm-hmm. In real Sephardi shuls, the real Makoi Sephardim, they read it on Shavuos.
Yeah.
It's a book that Reb Sadi Goyen, they'll read the whole thing. Yeah. Only Sephardim are blessed with that much patience. Reb Sadi Goyen wrote a book, the Azharot, which he actually shows you how all 613 mitzvahs are hinted in the Ten Commandments. Now, Rashi is pshat of pasuk. Why is Rashi giving you a recommended reading list? What's bothering Rashi? What in the pasuk is Rashi coming to answer by saying this book by Reb Sadi Goyen?
How it explains all those
Right.
Could be included.
Right. In other words, in Pshute Shul Mikra, you have to say that when Moshe went up for the tablets, it wasn't just the tablets, it was all 613 commandments. And they're all included in the Ten Commandments.
But
yeah.
So then how do we have all the commandments about what, who the Kohanim are if the Kohanim haven't been created yet?
Nice.
Good question.
And
great question.
Like how to kosher dishes if they haven't conquered the Midianite, gotten
beautiful question, yet. Great question. And I'm gonna, when you see in a second what the Gemara says, your question is gonna be even stronger. So hold your question for a second, okay? I hear you. Hold it, and I'm going to strengthen your question in a moment. But let's first learn what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying that all 613 commandments are hinted in the Ten Commandments, and Rashi's giving you a mar mokum, mizakman, a source. Rashi's telling you, look at this book. Why? Because Rashi wants to explain the simple reading of the verse. In other words, one second, in the simple reading of the verse, it can't just be that it's the Ten Commandments. Does everyone see that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Rashi's telling you, Psad Yugoyin. So in Pshat, what is Exodus 24:12 talking about? When God says to come up for 40 days, even though he's only getting the Luchas, what is Rashi really saying he's getting? All 613 commandments. And Deborah asked a question, what do you mean? But how do we didn't get the Kohanim yet and all these things?
I have one other question. Is it three things or four?
The five things Rashi doesn't deconstruct it. Rashi is just explaining, look at the Dibur Maschil, the stone law, the tabs, the commandments which I've written to instruct them. He's just saying all those words referring to 630 commandments. The reason I enumerated the five is because turn to the other side of the page, let's learn what the Gemara says now. And this, Evan, is what you were talking about and what most of Judaism is based on. This Gemara, Brachas Daf Hei. Look in the Gemara. Count up, I want to show you this in the original Hebrew so you know no one's making it up. Count up 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom where by the period it says Amr Ablevi Barcham Amr Pshimon. 7 lines from the bottom. See it? Amr Ablevi Barcham Amr Pshimon. The line begins with the word Lo Yoim Hamisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Everyone have it?
Mm-hmm.
7 lines from the bottom?
Yes.
Yes? After the period. Everyone have it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's learn. Now, keep your finger on the place. Does everyone know what it means? A drush of Chazal on a pasuk, the exegesis of the sages on a verse. Many people don't know what's going on in the Haggadah because they don't know the way Chazal work. The way Chazal work very often is that they'll quote a pasuk and then every couple of words they'll explain what the words mean. So if you notice, like in the Haggadah, the whole Haggadah is essentially expounding on 5 verses from Deuteronomy, from Parshas Kisavah by Bikurim. Arami Oved Ovi Yed Mitzrayim Logor Sham. So you say the pasuk and then Haggadah, Arami Oved Ovi. Then Chazal would take a couple of words and explain exegesis on each couple of words. So what Chazal are now going to do is take Exodus 24:12, and show and go word by word. So you remember the pasuk we read. Look what happens. Amr Ablevi Bar Chama, Amr Shimon Ben Lakish. My dechsiv. What is the meaning of this pasuk? First, he says the whole pasuk. In case you don't remember, what does that pasuk mean? Now he goes step by step. Luchais, number one, luchais. When God is saying, "Come up for 40 days," what is He giving Moses? Number one, luchais. Elo aseres adibros. What's the next word in the pasuk? Keep one finger where we are in the second pasuk, in the second finger in the pasuk, so you can follow. What's the next word in the pasuk? Torah, says the Gemara, Torah ze mikra. What's mikra?
The text.
Which text? The whole Torah, literally the 5 books of Moses. Okay? What's the next one in the pasuk? Va-mitzvah, says the Gemara, va-mitzvah, zu mishnah. The whole 6 orders of the Mishnah. What's the next one in the pasuk? Asher katafti. Look in the Gemara. Asher katafti elu neviim v'ksuvim. The book of Esther. The book of Jeremiah. What's the last word in the pasuk? Lahiroisim, says the Gemara. Ze Gemara. The whole Talmud Bavli. Melamed shekulam nitnu l'moshe misinai. Come Chazal and say that in this pasuk, you know what Moshe got it for those 40 days? Evan, what did he get? Yes. Everything. Including not just things that didn't happen yet in the desert. He got the book of Esther. He got the book of Yirmiyah. He got the book of Ezra. He got the Gemara, which means everything that Abai and Rava said.
And he gets this in the first set of 40 days.
That's correct. And that's what God is telling him to come up to get. And you understand this is, it's like almost like a continuation of what Rashi says. Rashi says, 613 commandments. Rabbi Sadi Gaon says, yeah, Al Pshat, the 613 are all hinted in the Ten Commandments. Comes the Gemara and says, yeah, but Al Pidrush, our faith is that he got all of it, including the Gemara. The obvious bomb question is what I said to you, Deborah, before that I'm going to strengthen your question. How could he have gotten the whole Bible when none of this happened yet? Some of the things in the Bible didn't happen until 100 years later, hundreds of years later. And the Gemara,
and the
Gemara
didn't...
And the Gemara didn't happen until 1,000 years later. The Gemara didn't happen. There was people living 1,000 years later. So what does it mean that he got it? Now, let's make the question even stronger. What?
Well, now you have the opposite question. 40 days is not long enough at all for any of that.
Oh,
unless it's...
That's why the Gemara Nedarim says, Nitna loy b'matana. It was given to him as a gift. But... hold your question and we're going to get to it. We're going to answer it shortly. What does it mean, nitnalei b'matana? We'll see in a second. Hold. Let's see. Now, this Gemara you're all familiar with. I don't know if you're familiar with all of it or the whole thing. Can I get somebody else to read? Because I'm talking too much. Could someone else volunteer to read?
Nameless, sir?
Yeah.
Rav Judah said the name of Rav. When Moshe ascended on high, he found the Holy One. Blessed be he, engaging in affixing coronets to the letter.
I have no idea what coronets are.
Little crowns.
Oh, well, I know what they are in Hebrew. I didn't know that that's what they're called in English. Yeah, they're called the Ataris means the little crowns on the letters. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Said Moshe, Lord of the universe, who stays thy hand? He answers.
Meaning, what does it mean? Who stays thy hand? What do you need this for? What are you bothering making? Like, God is sitting there, like,
kind of
making these little... What?
Isn't that kind of blasphemous?
Jews never were afraid of that. So, Moshe is like, God is like making these little lines in the letters, and Moshe's like, what's up with that? What are you, Natalia Kadish? Yeah, go on. What did God answer?
He answers, there will arise a man at the end of many generations, Rav Akiva, Ben Yosef, by name, who will expound on each
tittle,
heaps and heaps of laws.
Right, Rav Akiva will be able to infer from every one of these crowns, heaps and heaps of laws. Keep going.
Lord of the universe, says Moshe, permit me to see him. And he, this is where this all comes from. Okay, so he replied, turn thee round. Moshe went and sat down behind eight rows and listened to the discourses upon
so
the
So God makes him appear in Rabbi Kiva's base medrash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not being able to follow their arguments, he was ill at ease. But when they came to a certain subject, the disciple said to the master, whence do you know it?
Wait, could you explain? Not being able to, so
yeah.
who explain?
Moshe was confused.
Moshe couldn't follow their arguments.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you remember what did we just learn in the Gemara? What did Moshe get at Sinai?
He got everything.
Yeah.
But he couldn't follow the arguments.
Exactly. But when it came to a certain subject, I'm assuming that the disciple said, "This is supposed to." Okay. Whence do you know it? And the latter replied, "It is a law given to Moshe at Sinai." He was obviously.
He was comfort. Moshe felt better now.
Got it. Check.
Okay.
Therefore.
Wait. So had he learned it, or he didn't learn it yet?
Maybe he didn't learn it.
He hadn't unpacked it
on the outside. He hadn't
unpacked
it, at least.
Okay, I hear.
Yes.
Okay.
You give me a shas, it doesn't... I received it as a gift. You gave me a shas. It doesn't mean that I...
Oh, okay, I hear you. We're getting there. Okay, let's read further.
Therefore, we return to the Holy One.
Before you read further, let's just say like this. Obviously, what we need to explain over here, when this Gemara is going to be a key, the way... Now we're already talking in the language of Chassidus. Now we're getting to Chassidus, okay? Because... without Chassidus, all these different things that we've been talking about, that all of it was given at Sinai and all these things, is very hard to understand. I mean, the Gemara says it, but what does that mean? It's like the same thing that Avram kept Erev Tavshilin. You familiar with that Gemara? It's actually a Mishnah. Mishnah Kiddushin says that Avram kept Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is a rabbinic law, right? And the same thing, Noach learned Torah. There was no Torah yet. Yaakov said, I kept 613 mitzvahs. He married two sisters. What are you talking about? How could he say to Lavan, he kept 613 mitzvahs? If, like you said, what do you mean he kept 613 mitzvahs? A lot of these mitzvahs didn't happen yet. They're all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. All these things are the same issue that we're dealing with over here. And the key is going to be over here. The key is going to be the fact that, listen carefully, Moshe was in a base. Moshe was given the whole Gemara, yet he couldn't follow the arguments of Rabbi Akiva. And then when they asked him, where are you getting what you're saying? Rabbi Akiva said, from Moshe. What does that even mean? So that doesn't make sense. But the key to answering that is the next part of the Gemara, which is even more disturbing. Go ahead, Evan.
Oh, So therefore he said, he comes back to Hashem and he says, thou hast...
No, just read it. Don't summarize. Read it inside.
The Holy One, blessed be he, and said, Lord of the universe, thou hast such a man, and thou givest thy Torah by me. He replied, be silent, for such is my decree.
Now, before we, in Hebrew, be silent sounds polite. The words of the Gemara is stoik. Kachala b'machshava, shtok. You know what I mean, shtok?
It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound, it's not be silent. You know what the translation is in English? Shut up. It's like what Israeli taxi drivers say. Shtok, right? Shtok is that, it doesn't be silent, it's like polite. It's like, you know, Sansino Shakespeare English. What God said to Moshe is shut up. So Moshe's asking question number one. Moshe's saying, if you have a person like Rabbi Kiva, why are you giving the Torah through me? What's God? God is responding like an Israeli taxi driver and says,
like,
shut up.
Stop.
That's what I decide.
That's what I decide.
Like, which we need to obviously explain what
Moses
that means.
Says,
okay.
And Moses says,
what?
Lord of the universe.
I'm the parent and I said
it's
that.
Even worse than I said so. It's like, shut up. Don't even ask.
Like,
go on. Keep reading.
So Moses, Lord of the universe, thou hast shown me his Torah. Show me his reward.
You saw me how great Rabbi Kiva is. Now show me what reward this unbelievable person is going to get.
Turned around, and he said, Moses turned around and saw them weighing out his flesh at the market stalls. Lord of the universe, cried Moshe, such Torah, such a reward? He replied, shut up, for this is my deal.
And that, my friends, is Judaism. So, what? Yeah, and so somehow, listen carefully, and then we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to say everything now. I'm going to try to put it in about 6-7 minutes. So now we come to my 6-minute lecture. The way that Chassidus explains, and by the way, the sikha where the Rebbe spoke about this is, well, I don't want to get off topic, but it has to do with the sikha how to relate to the Holocaust, but we're going to leave that. But based on what Chassidus explains as follows, when God is responding to Moshe, shtoik, shut up, he's not being obnoxious. He's answering Moshe. And he's answering Moshe that the secret of all of what I'm giving you is above revealed speech. It's above the place of revelation of speech and even of intellect. What does that mean? So listen carefully. To understand everything we learned tonight, this has to be something that we all get very clearly. Torah essentially is not intellect. The intellect, the stories of the Torah, the ideas of the Torah, the laws of the Torah, the laws of the Mishnah, are all the garments. What is Torah essentially? What is essentially Torah? In other words, we have bodies, we have hands, we have ears, we have fingers, but we're not fingers. We're not just a conglomeration of body parts. We're a soul, right? We're a soul that fills this garment of the body that we have. The body of the Torah is a Mishnah B'Metzia. It's a law about an ox goring a cow. It's a story about Esther pleading from the king. It's a story about the destruction of the temple. It's a story about King Saul chasing King David. But what is essentially Torah? God. God's infinite light. Or Ein Sof. God's infinity is being conveyed in the Tzirufei Oisis of the Tanakh. Listen, that's the word the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya. In the permutations of the letters of the Tanakh, in this pasuk about the king Achav trying to kill, Achav and Izebel trying to kill Eliyahu HaNavi, or King Saul trying to kill King David, in these words is God's infinite light. And what Chassidus says as follows, listen carefully. Moshe Rabbeinu received the entire Torah. It does not mean that he intellectually understood and perceived all the stories. They did not happen yet. Don't forget, we believe, as the Ramban already says, the Torah preceded creation. The whole Torah. Now, if Torah preceded the creation, the stories of the Torah, stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't happen yet. So how did Torah precede creation? The answer is, like the Ramban already, the Ramban explains it as Hakdama to Bereishis. Kol ha-Torah shmoisev shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, the names of God. Before anything was created, was there a pasuk, v'simna ha'isa pilegesh le'alifas ben Esav? And Timna was a concubine to Elisav, the son of Esav. Did that pasuk exist before the world was created? Yes. Those words existed, but they didn't mean what they mean to us now. They meant revelation of God's infinite light. God's infinite light was being revealed through the word Esa Chazir, Ve'esa Gamal, Ve'esa Arnevet. But they didn't yet mean pig, bunny rabbit, and camel, because those things didn't happen yet. So the words Eta Chazir, Ve'eta Gamal, Ve'eta Arnevet was infinite revelation of God's light. Every pasuk in Megillas Esther, and Vashti would not come to the king, is a revelation of God's infinite light. That light of God was what Moshe, that's the gift, the matnas chelka, yismach Moshe b'matnas chelka. What Moshe, the gift that God, Moshe received those 40 days, was the whole revelation of all the light of God that's in the Mishnah and the Gemara. As the generations went further, the 40 years in the desert, then the time of the Bible, then the rabbis, you know what they were doing? They were putting that infinite light of God and making those vessels become revealed as intellect and speech. They weren't yet intellectual or speech. They weren't let letters of understanding and speech. So Moshe comes to Hashem and says, why me? Rabbi Akiva is smarter than me. What do you mean smarter than me? Rabbi Akiva is understanding things that I don't. Why don't you give Torah through him? So God says, no, it's you I want. Because what attribute did Moshe have? What do we know about Moshe that he was better? Who is smarter, Shlomo or Moshe Rabbeinu? Shlomo Melech or Moshe Rabbeinu? Shlomo.
But Moshe could talk to God.
Why?
Humble.
Humble. Hashem says, shtoik, it's you I want because you have humility. What does humility have to do with getting the Torah? Because the way Moses got the Torah, intellect doesn't matter as much. I mean, you can't be an idiot. But the whole point is bittul. The only way to receive that gift of the 40 days, 40 nights of all of Torah, what I'm giving you, God's infinite light. You know how you get God's infinite light? Bittul. Which is meaning being humble, being able to be not self, and thereby allow God's light to be revealed. Which, by the way, parenthetically, we all know Beishame Beis Hillel. Who do we paskin like? Who does halacha follow?
Hillel.
Beis Hillel. Who is smarter, Beishamai or Beis Hillel? Beishamai. So the Gemara says, so why do we paskin like Beis Hillel? Anyone remember what the Gemara says?
Hillel students used to also teach the words of Shammai.
Meaning they were humble. That's why we paskin like them. You would think, if Torah is intellectual, who should you paskin like? The smarter guy or the more chassidish he is? Who cares that he's humble? If the guy's smarter, what's the difference? The answer is, because it doesn't, when it comes to Torah, more important than intellect is bittul. To know, take your shoes off. This is the word of the Lord. Every Rashi you learn, every Gemara, every Mishnah you learn, take your shoes off. This is God's infinite light. The Alter Rebbe says in Tanya chapter 23, that when you learn a line from the Mishnah, the Gemara, a pasuk in Chumash, a pasuk in Nach, the light that's in that pasuk is more than can fit in all the created worlds. All the Olam HaSelyonim can't contain the light of God that's in this vessel of a pasuk in Tanakh. So that's what Moshe was getting. So Hashem is responding, shtoik, be silent. And you understand that therefore when Moshe says, I want to receive his reward, I want to see his reward, so God shows that Rabbi Kiva's flesh was torn off of him
with iron combs.
And Moshe says, what kind of reward is that? And God says, shtoik. Now you understand what's the same response. What's God responding? The reward of Rabbi Akiva is not something that could be revealed in the reality that we see here in this world. There are some things that are coming from that revelation of God's infinity that cannot be contained in speech or thought. It can't translate into this world. In this world, it looks like it's flesh being torn off of bones because he can't get it in this world. And that's coming from that realm of it can't be revealed. God isn't being obnoxious. He's saying, shteik, you're talking about things that can't be actually put into letters and words or revelation in this world. Mashiach comes, we're going to be able to perceive that because then we will have become the Mishkan. So basically, to put it all together, what we learned tonight is that when he went up to 40 days, 40 nights, did he get everything? Yes, but not in an intellectual way, a way of silence. He got it in a way of silence, of his humility, of God's infinite light being revealed. What happened over the next generations? We learned about how the 40 years in the desert, they wrote the five books of Moses. Then the next couple of centuries, they wrote the Nach. Then the next couple of centuries, they wrote the Mishnah. Then the Gemara. Then the Rishonim. Then then the Achronim. Then the Chveis, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Alter Rebbe, and Tanya, and the Rebbe, and until this day. What are we doing now when we learn Torah? When we make up ideas in Torah? We're taking that infinite light that was given to Moshe, and we're putting it in more and more vessels. Bringing it down further and further, which is why the Chassidus says we all, through Jews throughout history, speak different languages, the 70 languages of the nations, to bring it down into the parameters of the nation. And we continue, every time we learn Torah, we're continuing that revelation that started at Sinai, continuing in the Mishkan, continuing in the Beis Hamikdash, then in Bavel, then in America, Poland, Russia, everything. It's all one seamless revelation from Sinai that was all given to Moshe by way of present, of infinite light. And it was given him the Mishnah, the Gemara, everything. And we're now revealing it in a revealed way, speaking it. And when Mashiach comes, we'll see how every time we learned, we continued the revelation at Sinai. The Sinai revelation never ended. Right now in this room now, it's continuing. And every time you sit and learn, it's continuing. And we should be Zeichem Mitzvah Hashem to see it with the coming of Mashiach Tzitzim. Yeah.
The third 40 days, when he goes and gets the Luchos again,
yes.
What is he getting?
The second tablets.
Okay.
Oh, like, what is he...
Again, you said it shouldn't take too long to make tablets.
So I don't...
That second 40
days... But he had to make them himself, though, right?
Right, he had to make them himself. So. I don't remember if any... That's a good question. I don't remember if it says anywhere... that there was a difference in the way he received that gift of the infinite light and all these things, the first as opposed to 30, 40 days, I don't remember. It's an interesting question.
Isn't there that Midrash Havre, the second one, he then had to go and get out the stone separately?
He had to actually carve it out. That's what Josh said.
So could that be referring to the difference between the two?
Yeah, I don't...
Is it just a craft session, or is it also a learning
session? I don't know.
No, then in the first he sort of got the gift, and the second he had to hack away at it a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that question. Don't know.
Because then it became a physical thing. Because he actually has to carve them. Maybe that's...
you know what? I don't know.
Bringing it into this world even more.
Mm. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I need a little bit more of that.
Even though wasn't it just like a glowworm that ate stone that he like used?
You were thinking of...
Okay. Wasn't it the base of Midrash?
That's the base.
Oh, that's the base.
I think you're getting confused.
Okay, that's not. Has